Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Walden. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Well, good evening. I'm so glad that you all joined us. We have a hot topic tonight. Lots of discussion on this in the body of Christ. Not so much in other countries, but I would say in the United States, because in the United States, we have a lot of opinions about everything. But in other countries, for instance, there are so many signs, wonders, and miracles, and I'm always hearing Americans ask why, you know, why. And one of my answers to that would be not only because they need them and have to have them, they don't have a hospital on every, you know, in every neighborhood, but also because many other countries believe in the fivefold ministry office calls, believe they are for today. They understand that we don't have a verse in the Bible that says that the fivefold ministers are extinct. And what I mean by that is there's no verse that says there's no apostles anymore, that prophets don't exist anymore. And of course, we pretty much agree that around the beginning of last century that not only were there pastors, but teachers were fully restored and evangelists were fully restored. But somewhere this error that the Bible says there's no more prophets and apostles became strong. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to take it head on. I'm going to welcome Prophet Kurt Daigle from Louisiana to the program. Prophet Kurt, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm glad I could be here with you and your listeners on the radio tonight.
Well, I enjoy having you. I was just saying how you add the life and the flavor to the program. And also, you have experience with not only the prophet's office, but also pastoring. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. That's true. Yeah, I've done some pastoring for a couple of years. It's quite a bit different than the office of the prophet. But, yeah, there's a lot to being a pastor that I thought it was an easy job. You get up there and just give a message, and you go back and eat chocolate covered peanuts and ride on a carpet. But that's not really how it works. The pastor office is like all the others. It entails a lot and has a great responsibility to it.
Amen. I want you all to pray for us tonight that we will rightly divide the word and bring real understanding from the spirit of wisdom, counsel, and understanding the Holy Spirit is called in power and might and the fear of the Lord, the good kind of fear of the Lord. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to illumine your word correctly as you always do, to impart to us the power and understanding that you want us to have, to confirmation to listeners who are wondering if they have a gift or if they have an office call, to impart discernment to those who are possibly wondering about other people who may call themselves fivefold ministers, but may not really have the goods, may not be doing the function, may not be recognized by anyone but themselves. And we just thank you, Lord, for giving us clarity so that we will be those that are chosen, called, appointed, ordained, and sent, but not just those who went on our own, in our own strength, in our own timing. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to introduce you saying I think we ought to start with the scriptural basis for why we even think there are fivefold ministers.
Well, you know, any time you have a discussion concerning spiritual things. You always need to be able to line it up with the Word of God. It's the Word is our basis for what we believe and how we live. And if your listeners could, if they have their Bible, if you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4, I want to highlight 11, 12, and 13, but I'm going to start up here, verse 1, Ephesians 4, 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Notice that Jesus is the one that deals out the gifts.
Yes.
And in verse 8 it says, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended to the lower parts of the earth. And he descended, and he who descends also, the one who has ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, pay attention to these scriptures. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Notice it didn't just say just the evangelist and the pastor. It says apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what reason? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness in Christ. And if you'll jump back over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, and having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord. There, for many, many years, we were told that certain things, certain giftings had passed away. We were told that tongues passed away. Well, it did not pass away. The Word says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And once we are redeemed and we receive our glorified body, the gifts that you see here in the Word of God will no longer be necessary, because we will have attained that perfection in Christ totally and completely. Our redemption will be totally, completely fulfilled. But some people say, well, you know, I was always taught, and I understand what you were taught. But you have to understand, just because you were taught something doesn't mean that it was right. Revelation and understanding has increased in these last days. We've watched explosion of knowledge just going forth. And we've had men like Bill Hammond and many of the others that have been at the forefront of the prophetic and the apostolic movement. And they've studied this thing, they prayed, they sought the Lord. And they have been, probably the last 40, 50 years, restoring the true fivefold ministry to the body of Christ, because we've been lacking. When someone is not walking in their calling, the body of Christ suffers. The gifts and the callings and the offices of God are like a wheel that has spokes. If one spoke is loose or if it's bent, the wheel will begin to wobble and shake and will not give a smooth roll. And likewise, in the body of Christ, if we say, well, you know, we receive this, but we don't receive this because this is what we've been taught, that what we're doing is we're denying Jesus the ability to function completely as he ordained for the very foundation of the world.
Amen. And if I could, I'd like to throw in a little bit of what I call apologetic, because I was one that was raised in a church that taught that the apostles and prophets didn't exist anymore. And like you said, they were picking and choosing. They would say, well, the foundation of the church was these five things, but now we're going to believe it's these three things, the pastors, teachers, and evangelists. But I want to suggest to you all that it doesn't even make sense, because the very verses that they use to say, when the perfect has come, these things will have passed away. For one thing, that was written way, way, way after Pentecost. And some people will stand in the pulpit and teach that these gifts or these offices didn't exist after Pentecost. Well, that's ridiculous, because all of these letters from Paul were written 40, 50, 60 years after Pentecost. I don't know the exact years on each one. You can look that up in your Bible. But what I'm saying is, it obviously, the gifts nor the office calls ceased after Pentecost, because the books were still being written with instructions on how to, you know, operate in church. But those teachings are just ridiculous. And it finally hit me one day through the illumination of the Holy Spirit. It couldn't have ceased, because Paul wouldn't be writing these letters on how to operate the gifts in church if they had ceased. It just doesn't make any sense. But the good news is that God is the one that ordains what the foundation of the church is. And Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. But he said the foundation of the church is these offices working together. And that's, of course, one thing that we desperately need in the church today. There's I was going to use a phrase, maybe I won't. There are too many people playing like they have equal say, for instance, to the pastor or the teacher or the evangelist. And what I mean is, I was raised in a church that was run by a democratic vote, and everybody had one vote, and it didn't matter if you were the town drunk or, you know, an addict, a thief, a murderer, what, you got the same vote as the pastor. This is ridiculous. This is not in the Bible. You will not see that in the Bible. The church was run by the fivefold ministers, who also discerned and set in the elders of the church. Some people say that's a synonym for pastors. Whatever you call the leadership, it was not, they were not chosen by the democratic vote of the people. They were chosen, ordained, sent, commissioned by God. Amen.
Well, you have to look at each and every individual office, and common sense would tell you. I know a lot of people get common sense, but you have to look at it from a spiritual perspective. We as normal human beings do not have it in our power to be able to make any of this happen. That's the reason that Pentecost came, because there needed to be a supernatural endowment of the Holy Spirit in the lives of ordinary men and women. That's right, I said, and women. God has not just reserved this just for the men, so don't get upset because I ruffled your tradition. But if you look through the Bible, there were women that did great things for God. And
especially, I'll throw in, especially if you look at the Greek, because if you go to Now Faith TV, our website, nowfaith.tv, and you put in the search box the changing roles of women in the church, you'll hear Dr. Jim Davis explain that many of the leaders that Paul thanked in his letters, like in Romans 16, I think it is, actually, their original names were women's names, that the King James Version people changed the names to men's names. And you'll find many other things in defense of women being in leadership in the church. But I think the main thing that we need to know is what Prophet Kurt was just leading up to, is that one thing that will be true of every true fivefold minister, not just a person with an apostolic anointing or a prophetic anointing or a teaching anointing, but if they are called and ordained and commissioned by God to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, you will notice that there is a spiritual power and authority about that person. They may wear it lightly. They may not flaunt it. They may not insist on going by a title. But the thing is, they don't have to, because they have the spiritual power and authority given by God resident in them. It's there for the rest of their lives. It's not coming and going. And you will know there's something different about this person. When you meet a woman apostle, for instance, if you've never met one, you may question what Prophet Kurt just said. But if you meet one, you'll know there is some spiritual power here that your average lady doesn't have, or your average man, and you'll recognize it.
Every office has certain giftings and manifestations of the Spirit that empower that office. What would be the giftings of an apostle, Carlotta?
Well, I say this, that if a person calls themselves an apostle, or if they ask me, which they have done, do you think I'm an apostle? I ask, well, how many leaders are you overseeing? Or maybe how many churches have you established? Who looks to you for their oversight? Because a person that's truly called to be an apostle, they start out as a young person just like you and I, but as they grow, as God prepares them, anoints them, and sets them in, we call it, there will be people that look to them for leadership. And if you're calling yourself an apostle and nobody is naming you as their leadership or their oversight, you're not overseeing any leaders or churches at all, then either you're imagining it, or maybe you're just a real young person and you haven't grown into it. You know, God hasn't prepared you fully yet. What would you say, Prophet Kurt?
Well, that's very true. A lot of people, they don't realize that before they were born, God had ordained them to be saved and to have a certain destiny written in their life. And I believe at that time when God was mapping out who they were going to be, the giftings of the Holy Spirit, I believe, were placed in that life. And when it was born, it would eventually become manifested. Let me say it this way. There's a lot of people that believe that they're called to be a fivefold minister, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Well, they may not walk in it for years, such as me. I knew at 8 years of age that I was called to preach. Well, did I go out preaching? And you know, no, it was years later, because I went back out into the world, and then I came back to the cross. I gave my life to Jesus, and through many trials and tribulations, the things that were in me began to work out that had to come out. When a person's called to preach, that's awesome. It's great. But there's a preparation process that has to take place to get that vessel to be at its peak point. A lot of people, and I think that's why we see so much error and foolishness in the church. Yeah, especially in the name of prophets, people are doing crazy things, and you know, just I think I've seen it all, and it's because they're immature in their calling. I believe they're called. I believe they're chosen of God, but they have not taken the time to allow God to build a foundation in their life, and that foundation, the number one working of that life is praying in the Holy Ghost, which can be found in Jude. And it says, "And you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God. Not until I began to seek God And I was in Florida when I made this statement. I was just east of Pensacola. And I told the Lord, I said, you're going to really get tired of hearing me, but I'm going to pray in tongues until either my tongue falls out or you answer me. But I am not going to live like this. And we have to be brought to a point where all we want is change. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was the only person who could change me.
Amen.
And it didn't take long. And that's in that seeking God in tongues is when the miracles, the gifts of healings, begin to manifest and take place. It wasn't before, because I knew 20 years previous to saying that to the Lord in, outside of Pensacola, I knew that I was called. I somewhere deep inside, there was just something that I was so thrilled by the office of the prophet. I loved to read the book of the prophets, and I didn't know, but that was a sign right there that of what my calling was to be. But did it start out that way? No, because I had to have the foundation laid. Jesus had said it. He had set the path of where I needed to walk. And where people make the mistake is, okay, they're called to preach, so bam, they start a church. And I know people have done that, and they've failed miserably. Were they called to be a pastor? Yes, they were. But you know what? The time of preparation and seeking of God before the throne of God, it never took place. And that cleansing, that maturing of God's Spirit, it didn't take place in them.
Right.
And you know, you have to be able to hear the voice of God. You can't just do this on your own. You have to be Spirit-led. And so it's vitally important for that first foundation to be laid before you can do anything else.
Exactly. So we're talking about people that are hearing God's voice, that are willing to pray in the Spirit, being willing to sit before they consider themselves sent. You can write that down. If a person's calling themselves a fivefold minister and they don't have a lifestyle of sitting at God's feet and listening, they probably aren't, or they haven't matured in it at all, or they're not being mentored. And here's the thing about our first fivefold ministry we're talking about tonight, the apostle, is that it's like the most neglected of the fivefold ministries. See, and here's my personal theory, is that the idea of having apostles today does not sit well with churches that are run by committees, by votes, by a hierarchy, especially if it's built on who's the biggest, you know, business owner in the community and who's, you know, a member of the biggest secret organization or whatever. These apostles were set in, chosen, and empowered by God. And it's the same today. They have a spiritual power and authority that other people don't have. They may not fit in with the denominational red tape of some churches, and so therefore they're not accepted. But they're so, so important because God set them in, and God considers them his ambassador, and they establish churches. I mean, I heard of a 16-year-old in China that had already started 300 churches. They just have it in them to build the church. They're called builders, in a way. They ordain elders. They bring forth revelation of the word. They train in discipline. They've got that built-in leadership. And they bring adjustment. Paul is all the time sending Timothy or Titus, that were his problem solvers, or going himself to bring adjustments to the church and to understanding the scripture. But there's also that balance of being a spiritual father, but not a spiritual wimp. A spiritual father, and that's why I say if someone is calling themselves apostle, I don't care what their video or their business card says, if no one is following them, you know, the old thing, it says if you say you're a leader but no one's following you, you're just taking a walk. And so if you are called to be an apostle and no one's following you yet, don't be discouraged. Just sit at God's feet. Ask God who your mentor is to be. And unfortunately, well, I won't say unfortunately because God knows what he's doing, but more prophets have been restored at this point in time. It's like the apostles are coming in last. Acts 3:21 says that God will restore all things before the coming of the Lord, is what I think that verse means. And apostles will be fully restored. And if you believe that you are one, then ask God, who can mentor me? Who is an apostle? And he might give you some that are far away, and you learn from them over their videos and books and TV, and hopefully some that are local, but that you can actually be submitted to them, because that person is ordained by God to be able to build you into a strong leader.
You know, the Lord allowed me to see something while you were talking, and what I saw was this: the reason the church is having a problem just having in leadership and the era that's going forth is because we do not have the apostolic anointing in the church. We don't have the prophetic gifting or the prophetic presbytery in the church. And what happens is people, even pastors, have to be submitted to somebody. And we, go ahead.
Of course, and by the way, I would like the listeners to think of how many pastors are named in the New Testament. And I'm not picking on pastors. We have to have pastors to feed us. But how many people do you know whose title were Pastor so-and-so? But we know a lot whose titles were Apostle so-and-so or Prophet so-and-so, see? And I think we've just got it completely backwards.
And only until the fivefold ministry is totally restored, well, we see the church begin to change and take the form of Christ, because there's their spiritual authority. You know, it's Christ, it's the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And let me make this statement here. Just because somebody's an apostle, prophet, does not mean that they have the power to dictate to the pastor, the church, or the order of the service. The fivefold ministry is designed to complement one another and to build strong leadership. And so therefore it's not for one to say, well, you know, I'm a prophet, I hear from God, so you have to do it this way. No.
Right.
That's not correct. There's it's called submission to one another. We're to submit to one another in love. And so the quicker the church learns to put aside these fleshly rules and regulations we have in this church, because they're not working. Churches are falling apart by the hundreds. Pastors are, I don't know how many pastors they are quitting. It's because they're being pushed beyond their limit, beyond what they were called to do. Why? Because the saints are sitting out there in the church and they're not doing anything. And that's not what it's about. It's about us teaching the people. Go out, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, you know, flow in the gift of prophecy and tongues. Go out there and change the generation. But I will say this, the pastor cannot do it all. He has to have help. And that's what God is trying to do.
The fivefold ministers always work together in the Bible, and they're meant to work together now. Nothing's changed. They're meant to. And I'd like to stick my neck out again here and come against some error that has been taught in the church for decades and decades, and that is that there were only 12 apostles. Think about it. This does not make any sense whatsoever. We know that Jesus originally appointed 12, but that doesn't mean it stopped there forever. For one thing, when Judas was gone, they immediately elected another one, right?
Yep.
Another thing, Paul said that he was appointed by Christ to be an apostle, so that's 14 right there. But check this out. Not only do we find that in Matthew 1:26 and Acts 14, but Titus was appointed in 2 Corinthians 8:23, Epaphroditus in Philippians 2:25, Silas and Timothy in 1 Thessalonians 1:1 and then chapter 2 and 6. Andronicus and Junia were listed in Romans 6 and 7 that were possibly apostles. And some people list others. Now, here's the thing. Again, if there is not a verse that says there can never be another apostle, don't teach it. The absence of a thing doesn't prove that it's God's truth. The evidence in Scripture is that there continue to be apostles. And there's nothing that comes close to saying that they have ceased. Because the one verse that people try to use to say that was written while additional apostles were still functioning. So that didn't make any sense. We have got to quit listening to this error and quenching what God wants to do in the church so that we can have strong foundations. And this is why I put on that picture of the house breaking in half and falling into the ocean on my Facebook a few days ago, because the church is being built but without the foundation that God set in. And it's only what the house that God built that lasts. And yes, Prophet Kurt, there are hundreds of pastors that are quitting by the day. And it's because they were never meant to do it alone. God works in teams. And he set up this fivefold ministry team. And any church that you find that recognizes all five, you'll find a help there, a growth there, a spiritual power and authority there that is amazing, because they're willing to accept the church built on the foundation that God set in.
A church, a group of churches that has an apostle, one that, has established and ministers to the pastors to bring them edification and to teach them how to be more effective in their ministry. And then having a prophet or prophets or prophetic presbyter in the church, it complements that church in such a way that there's life going forth, there's power going forth. And what it does, it takes the burden off the pastor. You know, what does the apostle say? It's not right for us to wait on tables. We should be attending to the Word of God in prayer. And that's what a pastor's job is. A pastor's job is not to go out and visit the sick at the hospitals, run himself down the ground, never see his family, wind up in divorce court because the family's falling apart. That's not God's way. It's we need to get the church in order. We need to get the church established in its proper identity. And then we can take the people and raise them up and bring them forth to be teams, to be mighty men and women of renown, to go out and you know, have healing teams, go out to the hospitals. But we're not doing that, and that's the reason the pastors are quitting, because they're tired. I just hung up with a pastor before I got on this radio program, and that man was crying, and he's always, the majority of the time, a mighty man of God. But you know what? Sometimes that weapon gets hard to hold. And that's why we need each other. We need each other. He's a pastor. I'm a prophet. He called me, and God ministered to him. That's what it's about. This is not a Lone Ranger deal.
No,
you know,
and
the thing of it is, people, it's pride and arrogance. And it's stupid to think that, I can do this. Well, you may do it for a little while, but after a while, you're going to be overcome, and you're going to be pushed down, you're going to be destroyed, because there's no overseers in the church. And so we have a real problem, and I believe it's being corrected. Let's move on to the office of the prophet, Carlotta, and discuss that function.
Well, I just want to say amen to everything you just said, and say that all of the fivefold ministers are more than a spiritual gift. They're appointed by God. They're empowered They have the spiritual authority given to them by God. And each one may be able to prophesy, or each one may be able to do good evangelism, or to feed the sheep, or to teach the word. But it's just that their function will stand out. If they're a fivefold minister, their particular function in the church will stand out. And in the case of the prophet, a prophet tends to see things from God's point of view instead of man's point of view, is the oversimplified way. That doesn't explain why it's an office call, but I think it helps you understand how we think. Most pastors see things from the people's point of view, and they're begging God not to kill them. You know, like Moses, please don't kill them. Moses had a problem in that he was strong in the pastoral and strong in the prophetic. And when he should have let God discipline the people, he was begging God not to, and then he got mad and hit the rock twice. So we need to hear God's point of view. And the prophet will help people as the vision holder in the church to hear God's mission for the church, exactly how it's going to spread the gospel or teach and train and make disciples. They give direction and correction to the church, and they still go within protocol. Like Prophet Kurt was saying, we don't operate without submitting to the pastor. We still submit to the pastor even when we're given a word of correction or direction. And eventually, though, or within each prophetic word, it should prophesy to the results, I call it. It may bring correction or direction, but it also edifies and exhorts and tells the good result that God wants to bring. If comfort is needed, it'll bring that. But it builds up, stirs up, might even cheer up the people. But many times we need to have new direction, and that many churches have fallen by the wayside because there hasn't been a prophet there who was respected, who was allowed to say, you missed the turn, you know, five blocks ago, we need to go back and get aligned with God's plan. But then, like I say, it will still edify and build up. They'll say, and if we do, if we obey God, if we align again with him, then all of these good things will happen. A prophet, sometimes people think, will have a hard, judgmental, condemning attitude. They should never be judgmental in condemning, but they might be corrective, bringing clarity to the direction of the person or the church.
I found one thing about the prophet's office, and that a true prophet, they will grow in this gift, but they will have the love, the heart of God the Father. Mm-hmm. And it's because of that love that's in them that compels them to speak, to give a word, to bring a word of correction or a word of edification or comfort. But I believe that that is the true motivation of the prophet, because I've seen it. It's that agape love. It's that unity, that oneness between the prophet and God. Because a real prophet will spend time before God in prayer and seeking the heart of God in a matter. And so that's probably the greatest gift inside the prophet, is the love of God to the people. He is that voice, that voice of love, that voice of compassion. And so that's why I have a problem with a lot of prophets, so-called prophets going around, you know, condemning everybody and just, you know, railing them. And it's not the display of Christ. Matter of fact, none of the fivefold ministers are going to win many people like that. But the prophet is the voice of God speaking to bring confirmation and correction. I shared with you earlier today, a certain pastor was doing some things he shouldn't be doing in church. Well, he wound up getting killed by somebody in the church, and he was warned by two men. One was a prophet from California. That prophet called him and told him, You need to repent. You need to stop what you're doing. Well, these two men gave their word of warning, and the pastor failed. And 2 weeks ago, he lost his life. But see, that's that word of correction coming forth. You know, it wasn't in a judgmental way, but it was in a way of trying to bring correction and healing and restoration. But the pastor didn't heed it. And so, you know, judgment came. And so,
one more thing about that, since you said judgment came. The prophet does and has delivered words of judgment, but that's different from having a judgmental attitude.
That's right.
If God says through the prophet Jonah, if you don't repent, your city will be destroyed, that's not a judgmental attitude on Jonah's part.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't really understand his message himself. But there's a difference between delivering an ultimatum from God and having a judgmental, condemning attitude of your own.
Sure. That's exactly right. Even when God speaks, a word to somebody in strong correction, the love of God is always the basis, and he's trying to warn that person, stop what you're doing. Because sooner or later, if someone doesn't turn from sin, they're going to be judged. And God doesn't want that. He wants to bring healing, repentance, restoration, and move on. But we have to, we not only have to hear the word, we have to be responsible to what God is saying.
Amen. I know God has sent me in the presence of several pastors and didn't even have me say anything to them. They didn't know me, but God told them, I've sent a prophet who's here in your midst. Either straighten up or else, you know. And in one case, I never did confront the pastor. He's not only into adultery, but serious witchcraft and astral projection. Never did confront him. I sat in his congregation for 3 months. And he would just look at me, and I would look at him like, you know why I'm here. God doesn't want to have to write Ichabod above your door or you. He wants to redeem you. Another one, I just knew that I knew. Never met this pastor, but I knew that I knew that he was in adultery. God sent me. I asked him permission to give a prophetic word that day. He was brave. He said, okay. But God did not have me address his sin, so he called me that afternoon. He said, you could have said more today, couldn't you? I said, yep. He said, you want to say it now? And I said, no, you already know. I mean, people know when the Holy Spirit's convicting them, but when God sends a prophet to stand before you and just look you in the eye, you ought to have enough sense to know, I don't want to even hear what they've got to say. I want to repent now.
That's it. I'll save you the trouble going through all that. I know God sent you. You know, it's strange that you said about writing Ichabod across the building. As I was coming home today, I went by that specific church, and I pulled up, and I said, I know it was in the Lord. There would never be another church service in this building because blood was shed, and I drove off. And God has had enough of people playing, the leadership playing. We need to get busy. We need to get serious. Yes, we're all going to make mistakes. Yes, we're gonna sin and miss the mark. But that's what mercy and grace is all about. But there's a cleansing in the house of God, and the prophet is he's like the trash man. He has to deal with the dirty trash and, you know, and give words that may seem, most people wouldn't do it, but in the office of the prophet comes that certain boldness. You have to be bold. You can't be timid to be a prophet. You have to be straightforward, but you know how to speak in love. And you know, just because you got to say something, you're not being rude. You're just relaying a message that God has to say. Because the reason that prophets have to go a lot of times and give a word is because that person or that fellowship is not listening to the voice of God. He's speaking to them, but they refuse to acknowledge it. And so therefore he has to take the prophet in there and speak that word, and hopefully it will jar them, and it will bring them to repentance. But that's not always the case.
Let me bring some balance to this, because to me, at least in my experience, bringing this strong correction is less than 10%, maybe 5%.
That's right.
But a lot of times I think when we give a prophetic word, we don't even know it's corrective. We think we're prophesying positive things. You know, the Lord says, I want to, you know, speak through your mouth and all this. And we don't even know that he's correcting them, because there's no way they've been letting God speak through them. But I think of the ministry of the prophet as being mostly positive, mostly a blessing, mostly very enjoyable, actually, because for one thing, a prophet isn't a person that just prophesies sometimes, or it's not what you do, it's who you are.
Yes.
Because I would say listening to God is who we are. It doesn't matter what our vocation is. I was a nurse for 25 years. It doesn't matter what your vocation is. We're not talking about your employment. We're talking about your spiritual calling, and if God has given you an office call. And the prophet is more concerned about hearing God's rhema word, God's spoken word, that is, and more concerned about teaching the logos or the written word correctly, but also how it applies to today, how it would help with the vision. See, a prophet is a vision holder. And when I look at people, or in this case, just hear them over the phone, when God says, open your mouth, I'll fill it, for an individual, usually it has something to do with his vision for them, their mission, or how they'll carry it out, maybe how their spiritual gifts and callings all fit together. But it's usually an impartation of a confirmation of knowing that God has given me this spiritual gift, or God has given me this calling. I'm not just imagining it. It's really God.
Yeah. Well said.
Well, I remember there's a well-known prophet. Now, some people call him prophetess, but this is a woman prophet from Christian International that set up Christian International in Europe, and her name is Sharon Stone, but not to be mixed up with the actress. And
yeah.
Sharon Stone, when she speaks, starts prophesying to everybody there, and we lovingly call her the prophesying machine, because she doesn't add a lot of fluff and explanation. Almost every sentence she has to say to you reveals a different aspect of your, you know, God's direction for your life. But one night she was walking back and forth across the platform, and she was quiet for about a minute, and she looked at everybody and smiled, and she said, y'all quit worrying. Prophesying isn't something I do. It's who I am. And that stuck in my mind. When you're called to a fivefold ministry, it's not like taking on a job. It's not about whether you're paid, recognized, entitled. It's none of that. It's who you are.
That's right. That's a great truth. It's who you are.
Okay, for instance, with the fivefold evangelist, the office call of that, evangelism isn't something they do on Tuesday night because it's a church program, or it's not something for a special outreach. If you're a fivefold evangelist with an office call, empowered and appointed by God, it's who you are. You think evangelism most of the time. That's your default line of thinking. You're creative. You can think of different ways to get the good news out, to bring the lost to salvation, to witness, however you want to think of it, whether you're sowing one seed or leading a person all the way to Christ that very day, it's your default way of thinking because it's who you are. Like Philip. Philip was having successful meetings, and God put it in his heart to leave and go out in the desert and win one lost man to Christ. And he was fine with it, to leave the successful meetings. A lot of preachers today wouldn't do that. they're in it to build a ministry, to have big meetings, and to make money. But a true evangelist will go after the one lost sheep.
And the true evangelist, I believe that they have a certain gifting and the ability to win souls that some others may not have. Or they may, it may be a greater anointing, and I really don't know how to label it, but it's who they are. That's what they think, that's what they eat, that's what they sleep, because God is about winning souls, and that is the purpose of the evangelist, to go out and bring the lost to Christ. And I also believe that a biblical evangelist is going to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, whether it be prophecy or tongues or miracles and healings, because those are the things that tend to confirm the word of God that's being taught. And so I think it's a vital asset to the office of the evangelist.
Well, and each of these fivefold ministers, Prophet Kurt, will train other people. Because a fivefold minister, like you said in Ephesians 4:11, is put here in the church and on earth in order to build up and equip the body of Christ. And so in the case of evangelists, you'll find them seeking out ways to train soul winners, how to win the lost through preaching, how to win the lost through a demonstration of signs and wonders and miracles. You'll find them as a part of apostolic teams. For instance, one of the first ones I heard of years ago was when Graham Cooks was talking about taking fivefold ministry teams out in England, I think it was, and he explained how each one functioned, that the apostle has the vision for establishing a new church plant there, and the prophet brings clarity to that vision and how the mission will work. And the evangelist leads the way as far as actually showing them how to go maybe door-to-door or something, meeting the people. And then the pastor will feed the flock as they gather it together, and the teacher will be good at breaking the word of God appropriately, or exegesis. I love teachers that can do exegesis, just teach the word of God one word and phrase at a time, and you just get everything possible out of that passage.
Right.
But he explained how we were meant to work as a team. No one fivefold minister was to have the whole burden of a church on his own shoulders. We're supposed to work as a team, and that's what makes the strong foundation.
Each one has their own gifting that they offer to the body of Christ the other one doesn't have. That's why it's vitally important for the church to be established in the fivefold ministry. And what's all this about? What's the office of the pastor? The pastor's job is to feed the flock of God, to nurture them, to love them. Yes, bring correction and to speak the word truthfully. Because he knows that his overseer, Jesus, is watching, he's listening, because that man was installed by Jesus himself.
Right.
And so the pastor's job is not really to wait on tables, not to go to the hospital, to do hospital work, which he can. But I'm saying, I know some denominational churches, they expect the pastor there to be at the hospital every time so-and-so's sick. Well, I'm sorry, that's not the pastor's job. The pastor's job is to teach the people. And, you know, the pastor's job is basically like the teacher, and that's to build up the church, to show the people who they are, show them, teach them about sanctification, about righteousness, redemption, and the power of God, and all the elementary things. But the pastor's been inundated with all this other stuff, and it's what it's done is clogged him, it's wore him out, and that's not God's way. So fivefold ministers, we need to step up to the plate.
Well, and I think they have more of a heart, I know more than I do, more of a heart of patience and mercy with the sheep. I've experienced several times when I could discern, and even the pastor would admit it, this sheep's been been in adultery for a while, off with his head is what I'm thinking, you know. And he's thinking, oh, God will give him a long space of time to repent, and we're working with him, and he's, you know, he's got more of a heart to guard the sheep, and yet also the perpetrator, also the prodigal, and to give good counsel and to lead rather than push. And he identifies with that sheep, whereas I might be thinking, you're a wolf and she's closing, you know, get in or get out. But I've had to learn, you know, how to restore the fallen, and I don't want people to be scared to come to me for the restoration prayer ministry, because God wanted to balance the prophetic gift with how do you restore people? You know, anybody can point out where somebody's doing wrong, but how do you restore people? But I think it just comes a little bit more natural. The pastor is more born with it, that he can be have that mercy and that patience with people, knowing that we're all in a process of growing, and most of us, it'll take our whole lives to grow up.
I'm going to tell you something. I see this big problem in the office of the pastor, and it opens up a door for the pastor to get in trouble, and that's counseling women in private. That's just so off the wall crazy, because the enemy, he has bad intentions. That's to bring the pastor down, to bring the fellowship down, and I might make some people mad what I'm about to say is, but a man does not know anything about a woman. We have never known, understood a woman. I don't think we ever will. And so what can a man tell a woman, unless it's a woman telling the woman, because there's things that only a woman can understand from another woman. And I see it as a big problem, and that's why I believe that we need to have women co-pastors or pastors or in leadership positions that can take these people that need counsel, take them off, and begin to minister to them. But, you know, we open up ourselves to all these troubles that we shouldn't be going through. It's crazy. And then what it does, it winds up ruining the whole fellowship.
Well, frankly, I think the caution is broader than that, because these days you can't be sure, even if you're meeting with somebody of the same sex, that you're in a safe situation, because anybody can accuse you of anything.
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't matter.
That person could be in witchcraft. People, you never know.
Now, some people will sue you. That's right. Some people will curse you, try to curse you, you know, frame you. And here's the thing, that I have a quick answer for that. And people might wonder what I do, because I don't have a full-time partner. I've told God that I need one for about 15 years now. But here's what God has done. He said, use the telephone, use Skype, use uvu.com. And in doing that, I can work with people all over the world.
Yep.
So whether they're a man or a woman, usually for counseling, usually it's a woman. But I will say that because I don't advertise, and because people come to me, usually the men that do come are willing to receive. I mean, they're desperate for healing.
Right.
And maybe enough said on that. But I totally agree with, don't set yourself up to be a target of the devil by meeting with people in private if you know nothing about them. I won't say that I've never met with people alone, but I have met them before. I've got references. I've discerned them. And even in one case, I think there was one. I had an intercessor there for that one, too. There is a way that if you have to have different intercessors for different people because you don't have a full-time partner like I don't, or you can meet over the phone or Skype or Uvu, but there's usually a way out where you don't have to, or you can meet in public if it's not deep, you know, counseling. I have met with pastors alone many, many times, but it's at a restaurant in public. Now, some people might think you could falsely accuse there. Well, you can. And I certainly wouldn't be meeting with him every week. You know, that would tempt people to criticize. But as a fivefold minister, there are times when I need to meet with other leaders, but there's a sensible, wise, appropriate way to do it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, let's move on to the teacher. What are the characteristics of a teacher, the function of the teacher?
Well, a teacher to me is so centered. Like I say, it's the chip that God puts in them. They are so centered on expounding and interpreting the Word of God correctly. It's not just about knowledge to them. They don't want you just to have a lot of knowledge. A real fivefold minister teacher, not just a gift of teaching, even more so, wants that truth to be living in you, live, operational, wants it to give clarity and certainty to you, not just like a history of the church. And the thing about a teacher is how they're misunderstood. Oh, that'd make another whole program if we teach how each one of these are misunderstood. But I think with a teacher, it's easier to explain it. A teacher gets misunderstood because they want to teach you 10 times more about it than you ever want to know. They do all this research and they find out every detail. And if they don't have a time limit, they can go on and on and on. And I have a little bit of that problem because we just want to know. But a good teacher, a real fivefold minister, is not only able to teach, but when they teach, it comes alive. The Word of God, then, it's not just the written Word.
That's right. It's
alive for you. And hopefully they're prophetic as well. And they're able to give application to it. And if they're really good, they can teach you without it being dry and boring and throw in a few jokes and, you know, make it real live. But they're able to work with the others, the other fivefold ministers, to complete the equipping that you need to become all you can be.
I want to say this about people that are listening right now. You say, but I don't believe that I'm a fivefold minister, so where does that leave me? Well, just because you're not a fivefold minister in the church in leadership does not mean that you can't be a prophetic minister, that you can't go around establishing churches and helping leadership. I'm not an apostle, but I'll have pastors call me asking me to pray for them, to give me to give them counsel or whatever, and instruction. Now, I can still function in the giftings without having the office. You know, there's a lot of people think, well, you know, I prophesy, so that makes me a prophet. No, it doesn't. That means you prophesy. You have the gift of prophecy. That's something that God will show you if you'll ask Him. And let me give you some insight. And if some of you believe that you're called of God to be in the office of one of the fivefold ministers in the area of the prophet, which is what I know. There are things about the prophet's life that I love. I love to read stories of Elijah and Elisha and Moses, and they fascinate me. I desire to know God in a really deep and intimate way. And so there are different things that you can look at, you can pinpoint, that will help you. Let's say in the area of it, let's say you like to go out there and win souls. Well, you don't have to be in the office of evangelist to go out there and to win souls. Mm-hmm. And it's like that. It's like that in every area. And I will also say this. Every person on the face of this earth has been given gifts and talents and abilities by God Himself. May not be functioning, but they have the gifts. They're already there. And what you have to do is you have to begin to seek God. Just see, if you have to, first off, you have to worship God and minister to Him in the secret place. And out of that ministry in the secret place with God, those things will be birthed and brought forth in manifestation, and you'll just start flowing in them. Now, I think a lot of times, a lot of people are always trying to make it happen, make it happen, make it happen, and they become so frustrated because they're trying to do it in their own ability.
Right.
And when you get in touch with the Creator, and once you fellowship with Jesus, those things will automatically flow. And I'm going to give you this example. I prayed and I sought God. I prayed for months. I'd pray from one end of this country to the other. Well, one day I walked up to this facility. I was driving a truck. I popped the brakes of my truck, and I was had my hand on the door. The Lord says, ask the lady guard if you can pray for her. So I opened up the door, and immediately I began to flow in the gift of word of knowledge, and I began to read that woman's mail, and that was by God. That was the first manifestation of the power of God that I saw. But had I had not been seeking God and in His presence, it could have laid dormant forever. And so what I'm saying is if you feel you're called of God, just get before the Lord. Pray in tongues. If you don't pray in tongues, get baptized in the Holy Ghost and just begin to seek God in tongues. And I assure you, what you do, what you sow in private, God will reward you publicly. That's the way He is.
Amen. And I want to underline what you just said and say it again so we won't leave anyone confused. You can have a gift that, like these areas of an office call, and don't deny it. Go ahead and, you know, allow Jesus to operate through you in that gift, whether it's a prophetic gift. You can even have like an apostolic anointing at times and not be a true apostle, but you can still flow in that apostolic anointing at times. People have asked me if I'm an apostle because I've started several ministries. And I said, you know, I don't know that I am, because to me there's more to it than that. You know, I'm not really an overseer over a lot of leaders and in churches. I give more individual counsel to them, and that's been hundreds and hundreds of people. But it's not like I'm overseeing the running of whole churches, which would be one example, not the whole definition, one example of how apostles operate. But God will help us if we ask Him tonight, do I have a temporary anointing? Do I have a gift in that area, a gift that resides in me? It wasn't just a one-time thing. Like when Moses, I think it was prophesying, everybody around him could too, but it was more of a one-time event. Then there's a spiritual gift where you have that gift, but maybe you're not recognized and ordained to an office to operate in that gift. And maybe you might say, well, my church would never ordain anybody into one of the fivefold ministry. Well, ask God about that, because when He wants you ordained to the office of a fivefold minister, He will connect you with the people that recognize that and will ordain you, and probably have prophetic presbytery and send you on your way empowered and confirmed and clear on your vision and mission. If you're in a church that denies the gifts operate today, I would be looking to God for clarity on if I'm supposed to stay there, because time is short. We really don't have time to be doing church without the power of God, you know, just playing church. We don't have time for that anymore. Now, you might say, well, God does want me there because I'm the one that's bringing the fire to that church. Well, very good. If you're sure of that, very good. But I was trying to answer for the person that says, I believe I'm called to a fivefold ministry, but nobody around me believes in it. Well, ask God how you can connect with someone that can mentor you, because you need one mentor at least, and how you can be in a chain of authority, under a chain of authority, and be covered not just by God Himself, but by people that can speak into your life and help you to know how you can grow and mature quickly. There's no reason to have to learn everything the hard way. Yeah.
Well said. Well said. You know, it's time for the people to come forth and to stop doing nothing and get busy. We say we're waiting on God. I don't believe that. I believe that God's waiting on us. God is waiting on us. And so as I get ready to close, I get ready to leave this this broadcast tonight, I just want to encourage the people. You have gifts inside of you that God is longing to bring out. Just let him use you. Don't worry about titles. Just flow. Because, see, and once you start small, it will build, and it will build. You may just start out prophesying, but before long, you may find yourself walking the office as a prophet. That's what happened to me. I never spoke that I was going to be this prophet or whatever. I love the prophetic ministry. And so I just want to encourage all the listeners tonight to step up to home plate and to begin to do what God's called you to do.
Amen. I know you have to get up extremely early, so I just thank you, Prophet Kurt, for being with us tonight. You have added so much insight to this. I just really appreciate it.
Well, I love you and all of your listeners, and just get up and do the work of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you all.
And I just want to underline one thing that he said as he goes before we transition into taking calls. Now, this is the time to call. If you're going to call 917-388-4683, 917-388-4683. And if you'd like to comment or ask a question or receive prayer or prophecy, just push that number 1 so we'll know to call on you. But in my oversimplified way, I'd like to say to those that are still wondering, if you are called by God to an office of a fivefold minister, if you have to print a business card or produce a video for people to know what you do, you're probably not there yet. You might be called, but you're not doing the function. If a person has been trained and equipped and mentored, and it takes time, sometimes a decade or two for God to prepare a fivefold minister. So no use in trying to rush it and send yourself. We want you to be a sent, not a went, we call it. But if you're the real deal, people will know it because you do the job description. And I have said many a time when people say, well, why don't you go by prophet, Carlotta? And I did put it on my Facebook finally. But or why isn't it on your business card or your, I used to have a brochure, why isn't it there? I said, if I have to tell people I'm one, then something's wrong. Something's wrong, because if you're really called by God, for instance, to be in the office of teacher, everybody knows that they're not going to be around you long before you'll be clarifying something from the Word from them. And with a real skill that's anointed and from God, not just, you know, spouting off knowledge, but a real skill, a real teacher in that office call can teach others how to teach. They can correct doctrine. And I do want to say that it's not all about doctrine. Too much in the body of Christ these days is about doctrine. Oh, my goodness. We need to be, a teacher in the office call would be imparting life, a real knowing of who Christ is, why he came, why he died, why we need him, not just a bunch, an only systematic theology, although a real teacher likes that too. But I just want to thank all of you for listening to all that, because I think one of the biggest deficits in the body of Christ today is the restoration of all of the fivefold ministers for a strong foundation of church. And this is exactly my opinion of why so many ministers by the hundreds are dropping out of ministry per day, and why churches are failing as they've become clubs, they've become run by the Democratic vote, they're being run by anything but the foundation of the fivefold ministry that was God's way and is God's way. Amen. Okay, one more time. for those of you that would like to share something briefly, don't take over the program because we don't have much time left. For those of you that would like to make a comment, ask a question, receive prayer or personal prophetic ministry, please call 917-388-4683. I hope somebody's got a comment to make on the teaching as well. So let me, what I'd like to do is call out your area code first and welcome you to the program, and then I'll ask you to share your name and what city you're from. First name will be fine. And then we'll still have time to take a few callers for about 40 minutes. How about that? We just thank you, Jesus. We thank you for giving us supernatural clarity tonight on your plan for the church. I'm sorry to say it's not always the way it's done, but this is your plan for the church. And I want you to pray for my computer, guys, because my cursor keeps acting up. And if anybody really knows a cure for that, let me know, because the computer seems to do fine except this cursor now and then. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I'm going to take some callers now. Area code 304, welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Kathy from West Virginia.
Hi, Kathy. How are you doing tonight?
Hi there. That was a good program tonight, but I really need some prayer tonight. It's been we just moved to West Virginia, and my husband's a pastor, and we've been having lots of stuff going on against us, so I just need some prayer or prophetic word or whatever the Lord leads you to do.
Oh, bless you, Kathy. I thank you for your courage to call in. And, of course, there are millions of other pastors and pastors' wives or pastors' husbands who can identify with you. I want to say, first of all, my comment is that the reason I said it that way is because I believe if a man is called to be a pastor and he's married, his wife is too. It's not like she sits on the sidelines and watches and never gets sheep bite, never gets shot, you know. It's, you're both called. You're both called.
Yeah.
And I would say I would never ordain somebody to a five-fold ministry office call if they were married and their spouse said, I'm not called. Because you're in it together, with like or not. You need to work that out first. But I'm not saying you haven't worked it out. I'm just saying, explaining to the listeners why I said pastors' wives or pastors' husbands. Thank you, Lord. And Kathy,
yeah.
I just hear the Lord saying that, Kathy, even on the days when you feel like no one is celebrating you as a pastor, I am. When no one is celebrating your ability to hear my voice, I'm celebrating you. And the Lord says, I'm connecting you with people that will not just tolerate you, but celebrate you. And I'm bringing people along that will be burden bearers in the truest sense of the word, that you can trust with all your heart. And the Lord says, I'm coming along with a healing balm tonight and massaging your wound myself.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm mindful of the sheep that have bitten you. It hasn't missed my notice. I know.
Thank you, Lord.
And here's the thing. I will handle it. I will handle it. You can be sure that I am not mocked. Whatever a man sows, if he refuses to repent, he will reap it, or she. And will reap it more than they've sown it. The Lord says, nobody gets away with anything. But at the same time, I've been purifying your heart so that you won't be demanding retribution or retaliation or vengeance. I've been working that truest forgiveness in your heart and that pastoral anointing, as well as the ability to hear me. And the Lord says that I have had you in a boot camp that's been tough. It's been tough.
Yes.
Well, the devil has come along to try to make it tougher. And he wanted you to think that some of that, that, or what he did, was from me. But the Lord says, I have had you in a boot camp, but I'm also offering you officer training school. And you may not even want to think about it right now, but the Lord says, I have big plans for you. Big plans for you, and nothing that you're going through is being wasted. Nothing that
Thank
you're
you.
Going through is wasted. And there's a saying that you're not a true prophet unless you've been thrown out at least four churches. And sometimes the pastors, my pastors feel that way too. If I was true to you, Lord, why did the people reject me? But the Lord says, I'm working in all of this, and I am building a strong foundation in you, and I am purifying your heart, and I'm equipping and edifying you, and I will raise you up, and I will promote you. It's not about the popular vote. But the Lord says, I'm also teaching you a confidence in me, giving you a courage, an uncommon courage, giving you the ability to speak the truth and love, and to know my timing. To know my timing. It's tough sometimes to wait.
Thank you,
it's tough sometimes to say it once and not to nag. But even if you open your mouth and I feel it and I tell you, just say it once, my Holy Spirit will be faithful to say it to them again and again. And so the Lord says, all you really need to know is what I want you to say. Say your bit line, so to speak, and then just leave it alone, because I will handle them. I will take it from there. And whether they look back and recognize that you originally planted that seed of wisdom in their mind or not, the Lord says, you'll know that I handled it. That's the main thing.
Thank
and
you,
I'm bringing
Lord.
a new understanding into your husband's heart, too, to understand the role that I have chosen for you and to understand how you can work together and to understand how fivefold ministers work together as a team. How he can protect you and yet at the same time give you more opportunity, that you won't be that pastor's wife that's held back and held down and shut up and shut down, but that you'll be one that's respected and given more and more opportunity as you're able. And the Lord says, I will give him confirmation. He will know that that opportunity is from me. And I will take care of any fears that he has, fears of failure, fears of what the people will say or any of that. I will take care of that as we go along. You'll see me. I'll be working in his heart, and he will know which opportunities are from me and which aren't, because he does want to protect you, and yet, on the other hand, he's going to have to depend on me to be your protector ultimately. The Lord says, I have more and more team ministry in your future, and as you grow in respect for each other, it's going to be a real blessing, just a real blessing to be able to minister together as a team. And not only that, but I will multiply your congregation as you do it. It's like if he preaches alone, you'll have so many people. But if you hear my voice when I say it's time for some tag team preaching, where you both stand in the pulpit and like take turns, or where he allows you to have the pulpit alone, if you mix it up more and they hear from both of you as a team or separately, you'll see that I multiply your congregation. Test me and see if it does.
Whoa.
Hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
Can you relate to any of that?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Lord. Wow, yes. That is definitely from my daddy. Thank you so much, Carlotta. Thank you for being in.
I know where that area code is. We used to live not that far from there.
Is that right?
Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to sow another seed into 304.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you very much.
I hope that you will go back to this program after it's in the archives, 30 minutes after each program it's in the archives. You can play it again. And your prophetic work ended about 10:25, so it's probably started 10:20-something. And I hope you'll go back and write out every word of it. Use that play and pause, because there was a lot in that word that you're going to want to hang on to for a while.
Yeah, okay. Yes, you're right. Thank you. That's
awesome. It may not do any good to play at this church, but at least you'll know my plan, the Lord says.
Praise God. That's what we need to know is his plan. Thank you, Lord. Okay, thank you, Carlotta, very much. Have a blessed evening.
I am. Thank you. And you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I know that God gave Kathy the courage to call, because there are so many people that will listen to this program in the archives that are suffering from sheep bite, and they're wondering if they are called, were called, were ever called. And they will be so blessed by that word. You know how God is. He's no respecter of persons. And there'll be a lot of people that can claim quite a bit of that word, probably. Maybe not everything, but quite a bit of it. Okay, let's see what else God has to say. I never tire of hearing your voice, Lord. I never tire of it. Area code 469, welcome to the program.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
I'm good. What's your name and city?
Kenesha from Texas, Heartland, Texas.
Oh, Heartland, Texas. Okay. That's a big place.
I think that. Huh?
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just thinking you and thinking God for the program tonight. It's been a blessing.
I thank you for the opportunity, and I thank him for Texas. I've helped seminars in Texas 4 times. Looking forward to the next time somebody wants more training out there. Did you have a comment or question about the teaching?
Yes, I do. I have a question and a prayer request. My question is, the office of an apostle, does the scripture concerning how the sheep of God should be handled, does that refer to an apostle? Like, in other words, is an apostle governed by those scriptures that tell you how you're supposed to handle the sheep of God?
I don't know which one you're picturing. You want to give an example?
Well, there's a scripture that talks about the sheep should not, that you should not lord over the people with, like, cruelty and I've been told, or I've heard an apostle say that an apostle is not governed by that, by those scriptures, because they're not a pastor. That's for pastors.
Oh, I see. Well, it makes sense to me that no one is to be cruel, period.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you consider your calling to be, that no one. But as far as lording it over, to me, the word lord it over would be defined as inappropriate leadership.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that you're an authority. It's not just that you've been given spiritual power and authority and leadership. But lording it over would involve a fleshly attitude.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm going to make you cry uncle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make you obey, or I'm going to make you sorry if you don't. But it would imply a fleshly attitude. And the apostles that I have known, Kenesha, and the prophets and all, the fivefold ministers that I have known wear their authority lightly most of the time. They're not lording it over people. They're not saying, you have to do what I say. You know, down on your knees. They lead more by servanthood, by example. And frankly, I had a privilege of living at Christian International on campus for 2 years and off campus for 2 years. So I was right there with 26 families of international prophets. But I don't remember anybody flaunting it insisting on being even called a title. They were very, very serving. I was shocked at how serving they were. When I first moved there, they all left their desks first thing in the morning and unloaded my moving truck themselves. I didn't have to hire anybody to do it.
Wow.
To me, a real minister is called by God and are like Jesus in Philippians 2, who humbled himself as a servant, not grasping even his own authority as God, but coming as a servant.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying I can always live up to that, but I do recognize that.
Right. Right. So would that person or those people who do that, would they be considered false apostles or false prophets, or would they just be in error? Or, how would you really know if a person, is that a quality to look for, is what I'm saying, the humility or the servanthood?
Well, the first step that comes to my mind as you ask, because I don't know who you're talking about and exactly how they're doing it. You know, hypotheticals are really tough, especially on the air. And we certainly don't want to name any names. But mm-hmm. I would say that my first responsibility is to ask God what to do with the information. Because mm-hmm. if you're a prophetic person and God has trusted you with the secret of a man's heart or a woman's heart, say he's trusted you with this information that this person has a desire to lord it over people, then mm-hmm. if God has trusted you with the secret of a person's heart, then your first step is to intercede for them mm-hmm. just as truly as you would your favorite brother or sister in your own family. Just intercede for them, not hoping they'll be exposed or get what's coming due to them, but mm-hmm. hoping they can have clarity of what servanthood, because the word minister means service, is what it means, hoping that they will succeed and you can become their burden bearer. And 90% of the time, God doesn't have me say anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if he wants you to say anything, he will make it clear. He'll show you his way of saying it and his timing to say it. But again, the Bible instructs us to entreat our leaders. You know, we don't want to get the same problem and go up and accost them, certainly not in public, and certainly not like, I'm the voice of God, you're in trouble, get on your knees. But another thing that somebody might be able to do, it might apply in some cases, again, hypotheticals are tough, is when somebody says something hurtful, of course, they could be having a very bad day. You never know how much pressure your leadership is under. But if somebody says something hurtful that actually diminishes you or cuts you down rather than builds you up, you know, and you think, boy, you're doing the opposite, you can say one word sometimes and deliver a whole sermon. And if somebody just snaps at you, you can just say the word, ouch. Just look at them and say, ouch.
Mm.
You don't have to say anything else.
Wow.
They'll know that zinger that just came out of their mouth was hurtful instead of helpful.
Is there any way I could talk to you about some things outside of being an open radio program?
Yeah, definitely. I make appointments all the time, and if you go to our website at crosswalklife.com, and click on RPM, Restoration Prayer Ministry. There are instructions there about how to make appointments. And in your case, I would just send an email reminding me of your name and city, and we talked on the radio, and just ask about making an appointment, okay?
Okay, thank you so much. Can I have a prayer request before you go?
Yes, what's your prayer request?
My prayer request is we moved to another city, and I really desire a church home, but I don't want to just rush into anything. I just want a prayer request. My prayer request is to just ask the Lord to continue to lead me into the right place. And another thing is that I I desire me and my husband to be able to study the Word together and him to grow with me. And so those are my two prayer requests.
Okay. Tanisha, I can guarantee you on the first one, God will always lead, guide, guard, and direct. You know, we hear so many people pray that, but you can count on that God will always do his job description. And mm-hmm. he is committed to lead you, to guide you, guard you, and direct you. It's our mm-hmm. part that we need to pray about. We need to pray that we will listen, that we'll have eyes mm-hmm. to see and ears to hear and be quick to obey and slow to fear God and quick to have confidence in him. And, Kanisha, I just hear the Lord saying, I have it all worked out. I've got it all worked out, all mapped out. I've spent years preparing some people that are going to be able to speak into your life and be able to minister to you. And I've spent years in planning these connections. And even some people that will speak into your life that are still maturing themselves and have flaws in their life, even that I will work out for your good.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to just see it as that I'm your personal trainer and your tutor, and the people that I connect you with as I reposition you are all for your good. You'll either learn how to do it or how not to do it from them.
Mm-hmm.
You'll learn how to walk in the Spirit more, or they may be actual mirrors of some flesh that still needs to go the cross that's in you. And you know how we hate it more in somebody else than we hate it in ourselves.
Yes.
The Lord says, I'm working it all out for good. I'm your personal trainer and your personal tutor, and you can say that to yourself and remind yourself that I don't waste opportunities, I don't waste experiences, and even the experiences that seem like they couldn't work out for good, even those will be teaching you that it's not a two-power universe. It's not that the devil gets the upper hand sometimes, that I am your trainer and tutor, and even the situations that are a trial and a test to you, if you will submit to me with patience, that I will build you in the midst of it and strengthen mm-hmm. you. And as you demonstrate the walk in the Spirit, the love for my word, the power of prayer, as you demonstrate it, that I'll bring the right balance even into your home life. It may mm-hmm. not be daily like you want it to be, because there's about 2 billion women out there wishing their husbands read the Bible with them daily. But the Lord says if you will just keep demonstrating that, you'll see more and more at the right time that you'll be doing more and more together. And if you don't, but don't command him, don't demand it. You can suggest it sometimes, but men don't do well with commands or demands or guilt trips. You know, just demonstrate it. Just demonstrate, not flaunt it, just demonstrate your love for the word. And as you sow it, you will reap it. And you will also reap it from other people. Sometimes that need might be met by other people, new friends that I bring your way or from leadership. But the Lord says, if you want to share my word with others, I'll give you a way to do it. I'll give you a way to do it. No worries. Okay?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, let me know what happens.
Okay, I will. I'll set up an appointment with you. Because it's a lot of
email. Remind me of who you are and why you want it. And then I want you to think about something. Think about whether you just want to talk about that one topic, because what I really specialize in is restoration prayer ministry. Where
oh, I know exactly what I want to talk.
Yeah,
it's just that one topic. And even when you said about me, about the church, that too, that's me becoming planted in a church, all of that, I need restoration in that area, and that could be why I'm having a difficult time with finding
right.
a church.
I believe the Lord wants to do far more than we can do in one session. But just pray
okay.
about it and see what you get, and then write me and let me know, okay?
Okay, thank you. Have a good night.
Right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you. I just thank you, Lord, that you have all your ministers, oh, just like cradled in your arms, that they're all so precious to you, and you have a purpose and plan for each one, and their tears never fall to the ground, that you're so mindful as a good shepherd is of his sheep, and you are the good shepherd, Lord, and we just thank you, thank you. Area code 727, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta, this is Jan from Florida.
Oh, Jan, how you been?
I've been pretty good in general, yeah.
Okay. She knows, listeners, if I ask that, I don't want much of an answer because then I don't know what to prophesy if they go ahead and tell me.
it is a process, isn't it? So, yeah, the program was awesome, just reflecting on, you know, the way God processes us and teaches us through good and bad, like you just said to the last caller.
Mm-hmm.
And your guest said you learn in the secret place.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Just to make that more graphic, my daughter actually kept a notebook when we lived at Christian International. They had different guest speakers like 2 or 3 times a month. And she actually
mm-hmm.
kept a notebook on what God confirmed that he wanted to do it that way through her, or if he said, no, I won't do it that way through you. And she was that actively interested in learning, you know, how does God want to minister through me? Am I going to, you know, have the fire tunnel like they're doing? You might say yes or no, you know. She would just not try to copy people, but say, God, do you want to minister that way through me? That was amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. He's really been showing me perhaps some of the, what do you call, the fivefold calling and the gifting, but also how he really has geared us as he heals us to be who he made us to be and just be ourselves and, you know, get out of the religious box on that. And he's been setting things up like that with me lately that just blow me away. Like, you know, of course, God, you know my core personality, the way you made me. And just setting it up just so it would be totally joyous and, you know, like you said, spirit-led and also the love of God through all of it. And I've told him, I said, I'd rather not minister or know what you want me to do, quote, officially, until you really get that, you know, that love of God flowing and casting out the fear and all the other stuff. And he's doing it.
He's doing it. And a lot of times, I know as soon as I got some big prophetic words back in 93, I was ready to go that year. I thought I was ready. You know, I was full of zeal, and I was going to go overnight, you know, from being like the woman at the well making big mistakes to all this that these prophetic words says. Literally, you know, it's been taking God 20 years, since 20 years since then, to build.
No, that sounds like my story.
I fulfilled a lot of it, but there's still a lot to go. And when I thought of you tonight, Jan, I heard a pun and I heard an example. And the Lord says, part of my training school for you, I've had you on the invisible bridge for years. Just teaching you how to walk the invisible bridge, how to demonstrate that. And it's been a bigger part of your testimony than you even know. You've been willing to give your testimony and how you understand it. But the Lord says, you have really learned in our learning how to walk on the invisible bridge. And this is going to be huge in your life message to others, especially as some big changes come about in our nation. And the other thing was a pun. The Lord says, I've also had you on a tightrope. Tight being a pun, And you've learned how to believe in my abundance when things were tight, how to believe in more than enough when things were tight, and how to walk that balance, but keep walking and not to stop in fear, because the Lord says that's a huge ministry of yours too, because the Lord says you don't know how many times a day I hear people say, I'll fulfill my destiny, do my calling, you know, go to my assignment when I get the money. And they haven't learned that I'm teaching them how to walk the tightrope. And when you can't see it in the natural, when you can't figure it out with your thinking and your mind, when you can't earn it, are you going to be able to fulfill your calling? Are you going to report to your assignment? And, you know, there may be cases where I do say, wait until I fund you. The Lord says, I understand that. But I've also been teaching you the flip side, and that is when I say go, even if you can't see all the connections and all the provisions and all the resources yet, if I have said go, then go. Like Abraham, I'll show you exactly what land it is when you get there. And so the Lord says, these are big parts of your life message, to teach people my timing, how to, when to go forward in faith and when to wait in faith. Sometimes it takes more strength to wait, and let me build you and train you. Most people are in the waiting room. I understand that. Most people are in the waiting room. But the Lord says, I have also been demonstrating through you how to walk out on the invisible bridge. And there's a time for each. And I've been giving you the discernment to help people to know when they have really seen the green light, when I have said go, when I have said go by faith, and when they're actually just still in boot camp and they need to stay where they are, let me build and train them. And it all takes faith, amen?
Oh, amen. That's awesome. That's right on. He has to build trust in us for him and purge doubt and unbelief so we can walk in the supernatural. But then, you know, he wants to trust us too, you know, so.
Good word.
Yeah, well, he said that to me at least twice this week. He's actually said, and both times I wept, you know, that he trusts me. And I'm going, whoa. And the first thing that came to my mind actually was Proverbs 31. You know, like that union with him as our bridegroom. It's like, wow, that he trusts me. I'm like, wow. Because I don't know that I've really felt that trustworthy. Pardon me?
Like the husband's heart would safely trust in her. Well, and part of that is out of your mouth comes wisdom and counsel. And that comes from listening to him.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been thinking about that. Praise God. Wow. That's awesome. Wow. That's encouraging. Amen.
Well, there's Amen. A lot of liberating verses in there for women.
Yeah.
Some people would interpret it in a way that would make a woman even more shackled and shut down and shut up. But I see a lot of liberating verses in there, how respected women are. That woman is a businesswoman. She's prosperous, creative, innovative. You know, she starts out new initiatives. It doesn't say that she's just someone's shadow. And so go for it, Jan. The Lord says,
Amen.
I'm teaching you how to walk that tightrope and walk the invisible bridge, because you're going to be able to impart that courage and confidence in me to many others.
Praise God. That's a good word just for the bride of Christ, men and women, too, Proverbs 31. It's awesome.
Excellent.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much, Carlotta. God bless you.
God bless you. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We got on the subject of women twice tonight. If there's some listeners out there that need to hear that again, more about that, because that has come up a couple of times, just go to our website at nowfaith.tv, and in the search box at the top, type in, I think it's called The Changing Role of Women in the Church, or Dr. Jim Davis. And it's one of the best interviews we've ever had on what Scripture really has to say about women in ministry and women in leadership. And he takes it from the Greek rather than from the conflicting messages of different versions. It is awesome. Let me see if I can fit in one more person. How about area code 786?
Yes. Hi, good night, Carlotta. It's Mario from Miami.
Oh, hi, Mario.
Hi.
What's
How you doing tonight? I just heard you say that you wanted somebody to comment, and I just wanted to be that person tonight.
Okay.
And I just wanted to say what a blessing your ministry has been to me. It is just remarkable, the message about being complete in Christ and how every title and every appointment is like the cherry on the sundae. And then coming on tonight and hearing the prophet speak about how when we spend time alone with God, that's when he stirs the gifts and, you know, he rewards us. I didn't know this. I was just experiencing that first love, and I didn't even want to go to work because I was just wanted to spend time with the Lord. But he started, you know, speaking to me, and I was like, what is this? And just, you know, making me do, you know, asking me to do things that went beyond my comfort level. And I was like, that's what was going on. I was spending so much time with him that it was, you know, overflowing throughout the day. So now I'm getting it, and I'm encouraged to wake up again and spend those hours with him. And it's very exciting, and it's so thrilling what your ministry has imparted into my life and what it's doing. So that was just my brief comment, and I'm just so grateful for the way the Lord uses you.
Well, and that's what we really need. What we're really hungering and thirsting for is for God to confirm us in whatever he's called to do, to hear his voice so that we know what the Father's saying to say and what the Father's saying to do. That was Jesus' prescription, you know, for his day. And it's not so much whether people recognize us or give us a title or employ us or pay us. It's that if we're really working for God, and as ministers we are, if he's our primary employer, it's what does God think is what really matters. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Definitely. Definitely. So I just wanted to be that comment for those that are listening, and just hopefully to encourage them that, you know, that time alone is just so awesome when it comes to, you know, being built up throughout the day and to fulfill that spiritual calling that we have. I just love it. Love it.
Thank you, Lord. The Lord says, I've seen, Mario, when you notice the one lost sheep. I've seen that, and it just warms my heart. I've seen it when you are able to speak the truth in love, when you reach out. And yet, when you can also be patient with them, give them time and space. Lord says, I've just been building my heart in you, that compassion for the lost, and yet at the same time building you as a minister, and yet giving you that wisdom to know how much to feed each one so you don't strangle them, choke them to death on too much. And I've been giving you words of wisdom and words of knowledge. And as you trust me more and more, you'll know that this is an exact prescription for that person. It's just the right amount. It's just the words to say, just the right timing. And there's a precision in that I've been teaching you. And you'll know when to just let me take it from there, when my spirit will work that seed, that word, that sentence into their heart, and you don't need to say any more right then. And the Lord says, I've seen your desire to operate in supernatural power rather than your own, even to be that one that believes, when Mark 16 says, those that believe will be followed by signs and wonders. The Lord says, I've seen that, and that's coming more and more. The more you pray for the sick to be healed, the more they will be. And the more you believe me for miraculous multiplication and provision, the more it will be. And sometimes I'll even ask you to say it out loud, and sometimes not. But the Lord says, I'm increasing your ability to believe. I'm expanding your heart. I'm increasing the opportunities that you have to exercise that faith too. And so don't be discouraged when you seem to need miracle after miracle, because it's me giving you opportunities to believe bigger, to do greater works, to operate in the supernatural power like you ask. And so I am here for you, and I will provide. And I will ask you sometimes, what do you have in your house? Well, I'll multiply that. But you'll see. You'll see that I'm faithful, faithful, faithful. And when I let there appear to be a lack or a scarcity, it's not because I want you to believe in lack and scarcity. It's because I want to show you my miraculous provision and increase the faith in those around you. And they will see me for who I am, and they'll be able to let go of the lies where they were seeing me as a man would be, or as a human father would be, or as even abusive father would be, that as you express that faith in me, that any appearance of lack or being incomplete or scarcity is only just another stage set for me to demonstrate who I am, then you're going to see that happen more and more, more and more, and you'll find that your life message is truly followed by signs and wonders. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay. Definitely. I really needed that.
You did?
Yeah. I'm being complete in him and just wondering what's going on, but I'm just walking, you know, filled with him, and even though I don't see the provision, I don't see, you know, the response of what I consider to be faithfulness in my tithes and offering, I'm just leaving it in his hands and said that they will come. But I know that he's teaching me something good, and I, you know, and that's that he's my provider. But now I see it's, I let go of all that, and he's teaching me to trust him more. It's not easy. It's probably one of the hardest things in my walk, so I needed that.
Well, he knew that. He knew it. You've got it. You've got it in him, because he's inside you.
Yeah.
So I just tell people, anything that you think you need that's within God's plan and purpose, of course, anything that you think you need more of, just say, Jesus, you're inside me and you have it all. I just release you to be all that, whatever, patience, understanding through me. Amen.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I hope everyone that's listening has a wonderful night, and thank you, Carlotta. I hope you have a wonderful night as well. God bless you.
Thank you. We are. I'm going to have to go, but I just want each of you now to turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. What he told you to do. He'll tell you. Why he called character for you. Tell you who he's got to mentor you and where to grow. Where to grow. Thank you, Lord. If you care to donate, go to the bottom of Unlock Life. Thank you.
bring it together. Upon Jesus, we turn.